Hello, I am Vic.
And I'm Madison.
And we're here to record the topic of the week, conversation. And the title is Making a Monster.
Fiction's greatest horrors are products of their social contexts. As someone preoccupied with the destruction of society itself, these contexts and how stories come out of them has always fascinated me. The vampire stories we've all grown up with largely stem from anxieties of the xenosexual invader of the 1800s, a man from a faraway land who threatens to penetrate and corrupt virginal European women.
Wow.
In Singapore and Malaysia, the Pontianak arose from a period of high infant mortality and birthing deaths in a rigidly patriarchal society. Hundreds of years later, she can still be found in Southeast Asian cinema, still taking gory revenge on men. Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein in trepidation of Western medical sciences positioning themselves to eclipse biblical miracles. We are all born flawed in sin and are pretenders to God's throne. Domain over life and death is not ours. More recently, Freddy Krueger tainted starchy boomer Americana with Gen X homosexuality only a few years into the budding AIDS crisis. The Babadook personified depression at the height of a rising Western concern over mental health, and Candyman ensured the noisy and bright cityscape wasn't safe from things that go bump in the night. Every one of these monsters speaks volumes about both the cultures and times they were created. Old specters are given new life in the shadows of new horrors. The fears they explore or exploit come from the depths of our collective subconscious. But what scares anarchists? What do those fears come from? Is there or can there be an entity these fears are filtered through or projected on? What characteristics would an anarchist boogeyman have? Do anarchists have written or oral traditions of inherited fear? How would the anarchist horror story be told?
Where do you want to start? Would you like to start? Have ice cream all over me? Did I get it? Okay. Where do you want to start?
Your choice.
I'm reading this book about the history of the Russian Revolution written by an anarchist, and it's definitely a horror story. I mean, there's really inspiring moments and beautiful things in that story too, but generally speaking, it's a story of betrayal by your allies and then just like slaughter by your enemies a lot of the time. And yeah, I actually didn't notice how bad that book was affecting me until recently. I've been reading it before I go to sleep. And it's just sad. Anyway, I don't want to go too much into it. The book is The Unknown Revolution, which maybe I've said before on this podcast, but it's cool if people want to check it out. But yeah, I don't know. I think the history of anarchism as a political movement, I think, is full of horror stories and authoritarian monsters and pretend friends that then just like slaughter people. Exploit maybe some of the naive nature of like anarchists that choose to do politics. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the boogeyman whatever thing of for anarchists is our real people that already have lived and live today. What do you think?
Well, I guess I
I think it's interesting to think about, like, parse ourselves out from the society or that we're already a part of, and like, how are we? Like, I think the fear in public imagination ends up in our fear as well. And so maybe this question imagines us to be quite different than everyone, which, like, I do think there are differences, of course, but, like what you're just saying is the anarchist fear comes from history, and it comes from the history of being betrayed, of being slaughtered, and probably a lot of these examples and the topic of the week also come from history, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, yeah, what it's hard to have perspective on a situation you're in presently, right? So it's like these examples are made looking back. And so, I don't know. I guess it just made me wonder about the things that inform our fear as anarchists, which is like the recent and far past, probably. I think that the boogeyman of anarchists is often like some kind of infiltrator or dystopian technological, you know, like right before this, Vic and I were talking about robot dogs that have off-terrain wheels to be in mm-hmm. the forest that are designed to have guns on them, probably. Like, that is the stuff of my nightmares, personally.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot to be afraid of, so maybe parsing out, like, yeah, where do those fears come from? I guess you said it. It comes from betrayal.
Yeah, I think personally for me, betrayal is like a huge part of it. Just in general, I think that's just also a personal thing for me. But that's the thing that's one of the things I'm most afraid of.
Well, maybe that is partially, like, this question, do anarchists have written or oral traditions of inherited fear? Like you just said, that's what it is. It's like the story is they will betray us and we will end up in jail or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that also is, like, informed by the Green Scare, the Red Scare, the whatever.
Well, I mean, Green Scare is a good example because there's so much betrayal that was happening on an interpersonal level.
Yeah.
Of not necessarily just people being snitches, but also like people living, like getting married to each other and like that shit.
I thought that was a different thing, but
well, later. That was in England or somewhere. Yeah, I guess that's not.
It's later, but it's a very big example of betrayal. Yeah. Or maybe it was part of the Green Scare. I can't remember.
But yeah, maybe it's, I don't remember the specifics enough too. Speak on it, but I remember hearing that story and it was fucking terrifying, like really truly terrifying,
mm-hmm.
that an agent of the state would go that far
To marry someone,
definitely. Yeah.
And I remember too, like Anna bringing people to the woods and like that is also an instance of betrayal, like giving them tools to commit a crime and then busting them for it.
Mm-hmm.
So infiltration is a boogeyman, but it's also real.
Yeah, I think most of the thing, like, I'm not sure if there is kind of symbolic boogeyman or something for anarchists or for me. I don't know. I also feel uncomfortable about trying to figure it out for everyone or whatever. I know that for me, there's a big part of it that's tied to betrayal, and that is a thing that's outside of anarchy as well. That's not just like because I'm an anarchist. I think it has to do with many different things, and includes me being an anarchist. Anyway, I'm not trying to say like for anarchists this or that necessarily. But it does seem that the things and stuff that people are afraid of are less symbolic and more real. Like there's not like a Freddy Krueger or like some like thing that symbolizes something else, or like, you know, a zombie is a symbolism of something else in pop culture, and it's, pop culture is scared of it as this like invading force, you know, that there's like an argument made that's a metaphor for like, yeah, xenophobia or something, or racism.
Makes sense, yeah.
It does totally make sense. But I'm not sure that in anarchy there's like that sort of metaphor actually exists. Maybe that's what this question is trying to get us to think about. I mean, to me, these things, I'm more afraid of real things, I guess. Like, real things that I have seen happen or have read about or are already happening around me. Like, the robot thing is not symbolic of anything. It's literally a robot kill dog. Yeah. Like, it's not a metaphor. Seems very literal.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly to, like, I mean, the story of the Spanish Civil War. Is also a horror story to me in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
'68 is in some ways also a horror story. Especially reading about the people like Debord and stuff. And I don't necessarily... he's not my favorite situationist or whatever, but like reading about his life after '68 and just like... it resonates with me to be kind of in a moment that feels like the precipice of like a changing world, and then it just kind of dwindled down and returned to normal more or less, and like that just wrecking a person. That's also a boogeyman for me or something, but like, again, it's not a metaphor. Like, it is a thing that happened to a real person. From my understanding of the story. But I heard he had other problems as well. I don't know. I don't want to just flatten the whole thing either.
What are like popular scary or monsters of right now? Like not in the news, but in like the imagination. Like, I'm not even sure what movies or video game. I guess you said zombies has been a big theme, but maybe.
I think it was like 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on now. It seems like there's I'm pretty out of the loop with all that stuff, but, it seems like there's kind of, speaking of robot dogs, in Black Mirror, it kind of, like, started this theme of embracing, like, dystopian or, like, scary potentialities.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, being a warning or something?
Yeah, like, I think the zombie thing or the... like, a lot of the past horror stuff, like, in the early aughts or 90s or whatever, when I was actually, you know, when I was, like, watching that, were pretty clearly, like, this is scary, this is bad, you're supposed to be scared of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Mirror and some of the, I can't think of any, but it seems like there's, like, this theme that, to me, seems like started with Black Mirror, where it's more social commentary, and it's like, this is just where things are going. And
like possible dystopian, like a fork in, or maybe all. I haven't watched much Black Mirror, but it's like different scenarios of an aspect of technology.
Yeah. It's not saying like this is scary and terrifying and this says something, and this says something about the essential like thing of that world that it's talking about. But instead, my understanding is it's kind of just saying like, this is a way, this is a place where we are probably headed or likely to be headed towards, and this is like a negative thing that can happen in that context, rather than saying like this whole shit is fucking terrifying, like living in this world would be scary and bad and dangerous. And
but then what do you think about like the uptick in like all these like serial killer documentaries, and like it just feels like to me, maybe, and I'm again just not in pop culture, so maybe I'm missing some monster, but to me it feels like is there a trend toward reality being the boogeyman? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that movie Civil War is maybe a good thing to talk about here, and I haven't seen it, and you have.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
But that's like a newer thing, and I think that's an interesting, that marks like an interesting moment of what you're saying.
Of reality, yeah. Being.
Like a very possible, and like, I'm probably just kind of making this up, but like, I remember seeing something on the internet about how a lot of people in the United States thought that a civil war was possible or coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, that movie was made in that moment.
But that movie was, like, depoliticized in every turn. It was, like, the premise of it is that California and Texas joined together to, like, take over, take over the rest of the United States, basically.
Mm.
There was a couple of political things in it, but mostly it, like, took pains to not replicate.
Yeah.
Or in whatever way.
Well, because it was also, it's probably trying to be relatable to all those people. So they could see it as a potential thing, no matter where, like, if you span the entire political spectrum of Republican to Democrat.
Well, you could just do a lot of projecting from any which way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, no matter like where blank. You are.
Yeah.
It's like the painting is always looking at you, no matter where you're standing or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wonder, like, I think we're saying something that probably everyone has felt at their time, you know, because there's two things going on. Of course, people are going to be concerned with the fear of reality, and also the point of this prompt, I guess, I'm just revising what I said, like, is about the imagination, like the imaginative ones, the ones that seem divorced from reality.
Mm.
And like, I'm just not on the pulse enough of popular culture to know, like, what that is, and then maybe I'm not imaginative or creative enough to come up with like a story of a monster for the times now,
yeah,
for us or something that would be like scary. I mean, like, also a lot of the ones that have been created are scary, like, yeah, one of those like haunts you in your dreams. I think that's Freddy Krueger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to talk about politics and shit, because I think that is the creation of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, in the United States, there's the opposing sides, right? And that's, like, that's all that's allegedly worth paying attention to, of, like, the Democrats and Republicans. And they are both turning the other side into monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of their, like, propaganda is convincing their team that the other team are actually like inhuman almost or something, that they're like irrational, that like the way that it's a dehumanizing, I guess, which is,
I think that's baked into the whole politics thing, right? Isn't it kind
totally.
Of always been like
yeah
that?
yeah. I don't think it's a new thing.
Mm.
But it is very much happening here now, and is like, I think we're, I mean, as an anarchist, To me, that is like the logical conclusion of politics. Is that kind of shit happening? Mm-hmm. Of course, you know? Like, of course, when there's enough conflict, it becomes this thing that, like, is going towards, like, a war. Like, a more explicit war. Or a more explicit form of control or repression or whatever. Like, it's always, the potential for that is always there. And it's, like, likely that it's coming. But I think right now, like, when I have talked to conservative people, the way that their understanding of, like, the Democratic Party is, like, monstrosity. Like, the people are, like, I mean, it depends who you talk to, but, like, some people literally think that, like, the heads of the Democratic Party are, like, drinking the blood of babies and, like, the kind of, like, old anti-Semitic tropes, but just, like, projected onto a political party. That's a real thing. Like, millions of people think that. And then similarly, like, I think the Democrats view the heads of the Conservative Party also as, like, inhuman monsters, that they can't possibly imagine how these people would be believing the things that they believe. And I'm not saying, I mean, neither of those is, like, favorable or appealing, but I think they're both doing that to each other. And again, as an anarchist, I think they're both right. Or no, I mean, not that I think they're both right in that they are not human. They are human, and they are doing the things that monsters would be doing. I mean, they're killing more. Their ambitions of creating death and misery is, like, much superior to Freddy Krueger or any fucking zombie. And their ability to actually carry out mass murder is, like, way crazier than any fucking movie. So, I mean, it's, yeah, it's just less theatrical, I guess, or less artistic. It's, like, corny. Corny and devastating. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't really think of things as, like, boogeymen, as if they're... Yeah, I try not to dehumanize stuff. It actually, for me, trying to think of things in human terms helps me understand it or something, like... trying to think of a I guess as in a way I'm trying to empathize or something. I'm not sure. But when I see a politician or one of these people or a cop even, like, doing something that I find super abhorrent, which is most of the time, I try to think of, like, have I experienced an emotion that would, like, push me in that kind of direction to act that way towards the people around me? Or have I seen other people or someone I grew up with or something, like, go in that kind of direction? And then it's easier to see it as, like a personal thing that is a product of the conditions somebody is in, rather than, like, they're, like, just, I don't understand because they're not human, or there's some kind of a monster, and it's,
well, there's totally a warning in it, right? You're, like, it's a choice to mm-hmm. be like that as opposed to not,
mm-hmm.
and that has pros and cons of thinking about it, right?
What are the pros and cons?
Well, just what you said, like, if you're dehumanizing and you're like, I can't relate to that person at all, how could they ever do that? That's a way of being like, they're so different from me, I could never be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the human part of it, and you're like, oh, I have seen that in proximity, like, my dad was like that, or like that principal at the school was like that, or whatever, mm-hmm. like, or my friend mm-hmm. acted like that to his girlfriend, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
then you see it as, like, yeah, product of conditioning, and you have to make effort to not be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a, like, you, if you dehumanize someone, then you're just, or if you make a monster out of them, then you're just inherently separate and different from mm-hmm. them, and you don't have to work for it.
Yeah.
But if you see the human in them, you see the choices that you're making that make you different from that. And then that is a choice you have to make every day.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess, like, I guess that feels like a big difference. But there are pros and cons, because one is unconscious and another one is effort, you know?
What is the con, that you have to make the effort, or what?
Like, the con... Yeah, I guess that you have to make the effort. I'm biased toward the other one. Mm-hmm. But I think also, like, there is something to be said for just being like, I will never be like that. I'm not like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not a... There's a difference between saying that because you think you're somehow essentially different and saying it because you, affirming your commitment to making those different choices every day of your life,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, or enough to not become like this type of person that you don't want to be. Yeah, that book is on my mind in this conversation, and the thing that the author says at one point is that he's talking about Bolsheviks, and he really, really, really hates Bolsheviks, because they did, I mean, whatever, there's plenty of reason to, but I think for him it was also personal, because they, like, imprisoned him, and killed his friends, and tried to kill him, and all this stuff. And he, at one point, and it really caught me by surprise because he's so, like, hateful towards these people. At one point, he was like, actually, I think they started as decent humans and, like, had pretty good goals. But it's the thing, like, the ideology and the system that they created through that way of thinking that turned them into these monsters. And it would have probably happened to anyone if they, like, followed that same path and that same way of thinking. And I think that's, yeah, I thought about that a lot after reading it, because I think it's actually, I don't know, I want to use the word empathetic, but that dude's not empathetic towards Bolsheviks at all, so it doesn't make him, like, want to be their friend or something, but I think he just sees them as people that are the product of, like, this path that they chose, and it's the path that made them that way. And that doesn't mean that it's excusable, you know? But I like that. I like that way of thinking about it. And I really like... I mean, I think we're in agreement on this. Seems. Yes. No?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's worth thinking about. I think this world really makes it easy to dehumanize people. And... There is often a notion in politics, not just anarchism, that, like, if you kill all the right people, you will get to utopia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it works like that. I think it's, if the path is still there, if the way of thinking is still there, if similar motivations still exist, like, then new people will come that just do the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knocking dog. But let's try to make up. Maybe we can make up a boogeyman. Like the Punisher, the vigilante cop that just goes around killing people for being bad or something, and is like so good at. It's like a, yeah, some sort of vigilante murder. That's like doing the work of the cops for them, but outside the law. Like bypassing bureaucracy and being a lot more efficient at it.
We're afraid of Batman.
Yeah. Batman was also, yeah, like a billionaire with crazy tech stuff flying around.
Fighting crime.
Catching you. And then also, like, not quite, like, never killing anybody, but just enough to put him in a cage forever. And then feeling like a morally superior while beating your ass and throwing you in a cage. Like electrocuting you a little bit before. Yeah, it's not that good. Oh. Can you think of a boogeyman? Or did you just make up Batman?
That's all me.
Can we look at the prompt again? Maybe there will be.
Is there or can there be an entity these fears are filtered through or projected on? And then what characteristics would an anarchist boogeyman have?
I don't get the first part. Entity they're projected on. Oh. What's going on, Dougal? He's scared. Yeah, I don't know. All the things that... Maybe I'm getting old or something. But the shit that I'm scared of is real. That's not true, I guess. There are, like, forest spirit things that I'm kind of afraid of. But not in, like, the horror movie afraid type.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, recognizing of strength, I guess. Or their ability to harm me if they want.
Also, maybe this is like silly, but I thought that Frankenstein, the we were to empathize with the monster, and the doctor is the sort of villain.
Hmm.
But I read it so long ago, it's hard for me to remember.
Yeah, I kind of remember him being as, like, a victim of the thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Neither.
I mean, I definitely remember that feeling conflicted about how he's, like, going around hurting people or whatever. And also, it's not his fault.
Hmm.
Or something. Like, he was, like, created and was fucked up. They put him in this shitty situation. The doctor did.
But I think the interesting thing about this is, like, before you realize the political trope of, or, like, the context that the monster comes from, it's like, once you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Vampires sucking the blood of people or whatever, you know, or yeah, and like, but I think it's just hard to know what the like cultural anxiety is of the time. I guess right now it's like what you said, like it's split in some way in popular imagination. There's like reptilians, that's a monster. Right?
Literally,
is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, lizard people.
I don't know enough. But there's like conspiracy theories are kind of like.
Yeah.
They're
monster stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so far avoided talking about Against History, Against Leviathan, and how that whole thing is about a monster.
The monster of civilization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like it's. It's using the metaphor of this, like, being With tentacles and shit. Well, yeah, it's also
in response to the...
To what? But I think that was a useful metaphor for me reading it. Like civilization and capitalism and government as like this, yeah, this like ever-present, or not ever-present, but this like monster that's like enveloped the world over time. It's helpful. Mm-hmm. It's different from Freddy Krueger, though. They Live. Have you seen They Live?
No, what's it about?
It's a 80s action movie about this guy that, like, finds these sunglasses and he puts them on, and it turns out that all the cops and, like, rich people and politicians are actually aliens. And they're, like, and all the ads just actually say, like, obey and consume. It's where Obey, the, like, street art whatever person got his name. But, which is irrelevant, but, but, yeah, that's, I remember that being scary, of being, like, oh, actually, like, yeah, there's this, like, other alien, like, entity that's, like, controlling humanity. And they are all in positions of power. That's, like, by design. And they're basically, like, yeah, ruling the everybody. But you could totally go from there to, like, a far-right weird conspiracy, too. The use of the word alien and all that now. I don't know. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I think I was a teenager and I was starting to think about all this stuff already, and so then I saw it and I was like, I don't know, it freaked me out.
I guess, yeah, the like, anarchist boogeyman is like the overlord. That's...
Or the Matrix.
Yeah, but that's an overlord, right? It's a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Overlord.
Yeah, it's like this... Maybe the boogeyman is that... Because in both of these stories, the boogeyman creates a... It's not the being itself. It's the situation that it creates, in which there's not really an outside. Or, like, you can't recognize where it starts and where it ends. And the Matrix is that. So, like, most people exist in this fake reality that has turned them into batteries, but they're not aware of it. And so there's no, like... The boogeyman or the scary thing is the reality you're living in, rather than like a specific being, because you're not, you don't even know they're there. And They Live as like a similar thing too. Like, most of society isn't aware that there's this whole like race, I guess, of aliens that's just controlling everything. Maybe that's like the scary thing, is like not knowing and actually being governed without your ability to discern what is and isn't holding you in captivity. The infiltrator thing is also a similar fear, maybe. So anarchists want to know everything, and the biggest fear is not knowing some stuff. Utopia is complete awareness. Lack of awareness is hell. That's why everyone's always trying to spread awareness.
Oh my god.
Of everything. That's how we got the internet, which has been really good so far. Yes, no. What do you think? Out of 10, how many points?
I kind of think I guess what this points to, and maybe this is obvious, is just like fear is an extremely motivating emotion. And and so like if your sort of subconscious is being infiltrated by these tropes, how does it like manifest in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. The choices you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And how much are monsters made by their fear of other monsters?
I mean, yeah.
Seems like a pretty prevalent, like, or, yeah, a big, an impactful part of how monsters are made.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how so, like, when I try to think of it, of this whole thing, it's really hard for me not to think of politics and the things that exist in, like, geopolitics and shit. I think, in a way, if I'm honest, I do think that entire arena is, like, filled with monsters, actually. Because it's hard not to think of people that can make decisions to just kill thousands of people at a whim or something as relatable. It's, like, difficult to think that. I think it's even hard to think about somebody, like, murdering somebody as relatable. I think that's, like, a hard... it's not the easiest, like, thought exercise for me. And so to think that somebody can be like, yeah, I'll go push this button and a few thousand people are gonna die, or like, I'll sign this piece of paper and a few thousand people will die, is like really hard. It's not very relatable, actually. So to contradict the thing I was saying earlier, like, I want to understand in part as a, yes, as like what you were saying, like as a cautionary tale, or to humble myself, to like think that I can become some monster if I don't try. But yeah, I don't know. The Israel shit definitely comes up for me.
But the two points that you made fit into each other. Because what you said, what Valine said, is that the environment and the belief system create the monster. And so if you're an anarchist and you reject the premise of the society and you don't participate in it, then that is one of the choices that you're making to not ever relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's built into it. Or, like, so of course it's not relatable that you would be like, I'm going to be in a room with a bunch of people to decide the fate of, you know? Like, that does seem unimaginable. Unless you were in a really, 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 really good General Assembly. And everybody consensed. Then maybe...
Ever including the people that might get bombed or whatever?
Yeah. Graeber would be happy.
Well, they should be at the assembly, or else it's not democratic.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, this feels like a confirmation of something I'm already pretty convinced of. Like, I think what you just said and what I've been also trying to say is, like, if monsters are made by the situation, and even more so, like, the situation created by people are the monsters, then it's like a cyclical relationship where people create situations which create monsters, which create situations that are monstrous. Then it's like more of an argument to live in bubbles. Like, to just, like, to try to get out of the shit, and try to create worlds outside of a world of monster making. If that's possible, like, to the best of your ability, so that then you can create different kinds of beings that aren't, you know? Because I think it makes sense to me, like, I don't feel surprised by what's happening in politics, because I've lived in this country for most of my life, and I see what kind of people it's training, and this fucking, like, the way it's gearing kids up to think is, like, pretty fucking bad, I think, about their place in the world, about their relationship to other people, to not people, to, like, all of this stuff. And so it's, like, it's just not surprising to me. And I am in favor of creating things outside of that that can create different kinds of people. Not Americans, not people of any nationality, but like something else. Yeah, I'm down to disengage from society as much as I can, and I think engaging with it changes people, it changes me. Mm-hmm. The more I'm at work, the more I'm whatever, having to deal with court or any of this bullshit, like I feel myself altered. And that's not, I'm not trying to, yeah, I'm trying to minimize that, I guess, so I'm, yeah, well, but some people are trying to go headfirst into the mainstream society and alter the thing and hope it doesn't change them, and I'm not willing to stake that bet, personally, because I feel susceptible to being altered by my condition. And I could say a lot more judgmental things, but I'll stop.
I think people are in it for the judgments. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that, to me, people that feel convinced that they can enter mainstream society, alter it, bend it to their will with some utopian vision, and come out unscathed and not resembling monsters, are like delusional and incredibly arrogant. And I'm just like, yeah, it's a little...
Who's doing that?
Anyone that calls themselves an anarchist that joined the DSA.
I see.
Yeah, any person that talks about a liberated future that tries to do it through politics, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or through, like... Yeah, I mean, politics I'm using kind of broadly, but literally politics, but also, like, a way of engaging with reality that I would describe as political. Maybe that's kind of vague, but yeah, whatever, fill in the blanks. Yeah, these things have impact. I think these things have like a magic to them that alters life and people, who they are, how they see themselves, all that shit. I don't think anyone's born a fucking politician, you know? But this world makes them into that. So, yeah. Yep. Said some negative stuff, said some positive stuff, referenced some things for people to check out. There was a guest dog that entered. I kept myself from eating ice cream and making a bunch of noise the whole time. There's also pickle-flavored chips that I didn't eat, so I feel pretty good. How are you?
Good.
Nice. Should we call it? Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Nothing. Nothing clever to say here. Stay more humble, I think, is maybe a good outro for this, no? What do you think? You got one? On the spot. Let's do it. The real clever one.
The monster for me would be like being put on the spot and having to come up with something clever while there may or may not be listeners.
Nice.
So like a teacher is the monster, maybe? Some kind of like project manager?
Or just a microphone.
Yeah, just a microphone.
Sick. Well, I appreciate you facing your fears.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a good night or day, or time is not real. Bye.